You're listening to Family Talk, the radio broadcasting division of the James Dobson Family Institute. I am that James Dobson, and I'm so pleased that you've joined us today.
Hello, everyone. I'm Roger Marsh, and this is Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. All month long, we are replaying our most listened to programs from the past year. Here's another broadcast that topped the charts for us from 2020. If America continues to slide further from godliness, is there hope for reconciliation? What can our nation do to honor God and respect Him once again? Well, this broadcast will address these concerns through the remainder of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Rabbi Jonathan Kahn here on Family Talk. Rabbi Kahn is a prophetic teacher, a best-selling author, and founder of Hope of the World Ministries. He also serves as the senior pastor and messianic rabbi of the Jerusalem Center Beth Israel. Today, he and Dr. Dobson will continue talking about Rabbi Kahn's newest work, the book called The Harbinger 2. There's a lot of ground to cover, so let's dive right in.
In both the Harbinger and the Harbinger 2 books and others, you have found remarkable linkages between contemporary America and ancient Israel, despite 2,700 years of time between them, and even more in some cases.
Yeah.
That's what makes your books unique. Was that linkage apparent to you in the beginning of your journey?
Yeah, well, it's an uncanny thing, and I wasn't looking for it. It's there. And, you know, much of the stuff I didn't even know that certain things were said by presidents, and, you know, there's all sorts of things that happen that where they've been replaying what the ancient leaders did, including Obama has done that, and others are part of all this whole big thing. And what it's leading to is that we are now at this, I believe, as well, and that is that this is such a critical moment. I believe that as we approach the autumn, but it's also what can happen through the election with a nation that is so divided as it is now. The shakings that were mentioned in the Harbinger of coming of division, of disorder, of breakdown of infrastructure. I believe that, you know, what happened with ancient Israel is that the strike came in both kingdoms, north and south. Then came the period of time, the years, in one case, one, in one other case, 19 years. And then came these giant shakings upon the land. And I believe that God's heart is still that those who will come back, those who will look up, those who will return, He will have mercy. But as a nation as a whole, if we don't turn back, we are heading for this day. I believe what we've known as America is going to be withdrawn, a new day, humbling before our enemies, breakdown of prosperity, breakdown of peace and order, all these things that we have taken for granted, which we never could because these are from God. We're going to see it. And I believe, though, at the same time here, I mean, the good news is I believe there could be a giant revival. I mean, within the midst. I'm not saying everybody. I'm not saying, you know, kind of like people say when they look at the end times, they say, you know, it's all dark. I believe in the end times, it's the dark gets darker, but the lights are to get brighter. And so we're to be the lights. The Bible speaks about revival in the end as well, and the word going to all nations. I believe there still can be revival, but it's going to take God's people to do what He's called us to do.
And that kind of revival always begins with prayer, doesn't it?
Yeah. It always begins with prayer and repentance, because if it's prayer without repentance, it's not going to do it. If it's repentance,
yes.
You know, it's got to have prayer. But absolutely. And, you know, it's not the only time this has ever happened. And the other thing about the answer, about the good part, is that, you know, when this all exploded on America, you know, and everybody was told to go in their houses, and but it particularly exploded in March, you know. And interesting, because, you know, over 3,000 years ago in the Bible, there was only one time in history when a people were told to go inside their houses because a plague was passing over the land, and that, of course, was Israel. That's never happened again. That's never happened until the year 2020. And actually, in Israel, they were ordered by the government to go in their houses, stay there at 6 o'clock, stay in there till morning, and it was literally the day of Passover when they were told that when they're celebrating, stay in their house because a plague is passing the land. But this, the whole world was brought into this mystery. So I believe it's also showing that the reality of the God of the Bible, which is Passover, that He's the God of the Bible, and Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, is our Passover Lamb. You know, the center of Passover is to bring us through all this to look at the Lamb, look to the Lamb. He's the only hope. It's not government. It's not media. It's the Lamb. Jesus is the answer. And so I believe even this is to point us and point us back to God.
Well, let's take a moment to talk about the spiritual implications of the upcoming election. We are in need of returning, but returning from what? And that, I think, should involve our political perspectives as well.
Yeah,
the
sure.
Democratic Party makes no reference to God, the Bible, our faith, or Christianity. In fact, some of the items in their platform are godless and immoral, such as abortion occurring after birth, where the baby manages to limp into the world wounded and dying and not being attended to or physicians making an effort to save him. That is wicked. That's awful. That's terrible.
Yeah.
The other party, Republicans, don't claim to be righteous, but in their convention, they made many references to God, faith, and Christians, and so on. Speaking for myself, I strongly believe that there's so much riding on the outcome of the next election that our faith and our moral convictions should inform us on the way we make our decisions.
I agree. It seems like we almost every election, you know, it seems like we say this is the most critical election, and it is. It's because it's getting worse, you know. But this is clearly the most critical election because, first of all, you know, when I was growing up, it wasn't like that, you know, but it is now. And the other party has reacted against that. And so this is the most polarized, radicalized election. If they win, then it will not only be pro-abortion, it will be that they will strike down the Hyde Amendment for the first time. They've never done it before. They're promising to strike it, which means we're going to be paying for the killing of babies, each of us, with that. We are going to see religious persecution, the encroaching of religious rights and freedom of speech. This is gigantic. And if that happens, I believe that's a ceiling of where America would go. At the same time, you know, I think that there's a danger even in where what's going to happen to America in this election, because this election could also tear apart the nation because it is so, so divided.
Well, that brings us to the return, the event that you have announced that's going to take place on the 26th of September. That is a very significant day in itself. Explain why.
Yeah, well, a few things. First of all, you know, we're talking about the foundations and all. That time, first of all, is like the 400th anniversary of America's spiritual founding, the Mayflower. You know, it set, you know, these were the days of its journey. You know, so it's going to happen that time. It's also the biblical calendar. It's going to happen during the 10 days that are called the Yomim Noraim, or the 10 days of awe or repentance. And that is from, in the biblical calendar, it's, you know, it begins with a Feast of Trumpets. We talked about the trumpet a lot. The trumpet, you know, blasting is warning, get ready, because you're all going to stand before God in judgment. And so I think that's very significant. And so there's 10 days. So first, there are 10 days of the return, beginning with the trumpets in September, and that's on September 18th to September 28th. The actual return is at the end, near the end of it, is Saturday, September 26th. And there was something about this, you know, if we had done this interview like a week before, I wouldn't be able to tell you, because I just found this out. We had no idea. And that is that it turns out that on the biblical or Hebrew calendar, there's a date that falls on. The 26th is already known, appointed from ages past, as being a special date. It's called Shabbat Shuvah on that day. Shabbat is the Sabbath, of course, and that it's going to be on Saturday. But Shuvah, think, like, what does that mean? Shuvah in Hebrew means the return. So it's literally the biblical day of return. And
You didn't know that before you scheduled that date?
No idea whatsoever. No idea. And the thing is that this is just like a week ago. It's the day of the return. And not only that, it's a day that in the biblical calendar is dedicated for national return, because it's in between the trumpet and the Day of Atonement. So it's dedicated to a nation coming back to God. And on top of that, there's an appointed word. You know, they open up the scrolls on that day. It's going to be all over the world. They open up the scrolls to the appointed word for that day. And what is the appointed word, or the key appointed word? It's from Joel. And in Joel, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, declare a holy fast, consecrate a solemn assembly, a sacred assembly. Gather the people, consecrate the elders, bring the elders together, bring the priests together, bring everybody, weep before the Lord, and say, Lord, have mercy, spare our people. Come before. That's exactly what the return is. In fact, we're following the pattern of Joel, but we had no idea it was appointed from ages past. I had no idea. Zero. In fact, I've talked with a great man of God, Kevin Jessup, who had a burden, and we've talked for years, and he was able to, you know, secure a certain date, but he wasn't thinking. I was thinking, like, this is a great time period. It's the time of the holy days and all that, and before the election, but it turned out it was already appointed. So I have no question this is appointed by the Lord.
All right. Tell us a little more about what's going to occur on September 26th at the return.
Okay, it's not a festival, it's not a show, it is the sacred gathering, a solemn assembly, which is in the Bible, which is according to the scripture, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, will pray, will seek my face, and turn from their evil ways, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Based on that, that's God's promise, if my people. So it's a gathering of repentance, of prayer, repentance, there'll be speaker. I am honored to say you're going to be part of it by video. And, you know, we have Pat Robertson will be part of it. Michelle Bachman and Billy Graham's daughter, Anne Graham Lotz, Martin Luther King's niece there. And it'll be prayer, it'll be worship, it'll be repentance on the National Mall in Washington, and they'll be sharing. I believe it's going to be a prophetic day. I believe it's going to be a traumatic day. I believe it's going to be a historic day. At the same time, you know, after we did this, you know, Franklin Graham called me and said, I want to do a prayer march across the thing. So he's also going to be doing something as we're doing this, and we're all praying for that. So it's going to be gigantic. But for those who can come to the National Mall on September 26th, I believe it's going to be just a prophetic, gigantic, and critical gathering. And historic. But on top of that, if you can't, it's not just for there. It's wherever you are. Just mark September 26th. Actually, mark those 10 days from the trumpets, and even September. But wherever you are on September 26th, I'm asking you, pray as never before for America, for revival, for repentance, for return, whatever it takes, that God will do it. You can do that in your churches. You can tell your pastors. You can do it at home. You can do it in a field. You can have your own return event. It doesn't matter. We're going to be streaming it and simulcasting it so people can be part all over. But that, and it's not only in America. The center is America, but also it'll be people in the nations as well. So I believe it's just a gigantic thing. And this, one of the things I mentioned in the Harbinger 2, is how these things have actually changed the history of America. One of them involved Abraham Lincoln, and the other involved Ronald Reagan.
Tell us how.
Yeah, well, Abraham Lincoln, okay, you know, whose statue is in danger right now, just like George Washington and all that. You know, Abraham Lincoln, you know, it was the Civil War, and it was a moment that could have ended America as we know it. It wasn't that the North was going to lose, but it was that the North could have given up and say, okay, go. And then America would not have been there in its power and its strength as we know it today to stand against communism and to stand against Hitler. Imagine how the world would have been different. So it's there. It's 1863. It looks terrible for Lincoln. And he might not even get reelected. It looks terrible for the North. They've been losing like almost every battle or every major war. And so there comes a call in Washington, and it's issued by Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln calls the nation for a day of prayer and repentance. Back then they called it humiliation, you know, humbling yourself. And it's really based on that promise that was given by to Solomon, you know, if my people. And when you read Lincoln's declaration, it's if my people. It's all. And so he dedicated this day. Now, what happened is, so they gathered, they humbled themselves, they prayed. And if anybody can, you should read his declaration because it's incredible. But he says, we've offended God and we have to humble ourselves. We've done this. It could apply to America now. But what happened is they prayed in the spring of 1863, and you watch, then comes this turning point. About 2 months later comes Gettysburg, and also the Battle of Vicksburg. The two turning points happened about 2 months later. But when I looked closer on this, amazing thing. The turning point of everything began the day after they prayed. It began the very day. That was the first victory that a guy named, you know, Ulysses Grant had that led to the fall of Vicksburg, turning point. And it also was a turning point that next day that led to Gettysburg. But it began the very next day. And imagine if the people of God hadn't prayed and hadn't humbled themselves. So, you know, we don't see, they don't teach us this, but history is in the hands of God and his people. And then another something that I witnessed firsthand, we've talked about this, I believe it's very important now, is that, you know, in our lifetime, I was a new believer. This event forced me to tell my parents I was a believer, because I was raised, you know, as I'm Jewish. It was a time when Carter was president and things were collapsing, you know, and the economy was collapsing all around the world. Our influence was collapsing. The Soviet Union was advancing. 52 American hostages were in Iran. We tried to rescue them. The helicopters crashed. And it was a horrible time. People were online for gas. And every day you turn on the television set, it said death to America, chanting in Iran. Well, the believers got together, and they had planned it before, actually, in that time, to gather according to 2 Chronicles 7:14. And we gathered on the National Mall, just where the return is going to be. And I remember, because I was there as a new believer, and there were two prayers I remember very powerfully. One is that everybody joined hands and said, Lord, we are helpless to release these hostages. You do it by your own hand. And number two, they said, place your hands towards the Capitol building. So we all did. And we placed it towards that western terrace that's on the Capitol and prayed, Lord, put into government whom you want, because there was an election coming up. Well, a few months later, there was a revolution at the polls, and people who were supporting biblical values were swept into power, particularly a man named Ronald Reagan. And when he was sworn into office, they changed the venue. It had been that way since, I think, Andrew Jackson. They changed it from the east side to the west side, so now he's facing where we were praying, and he's standing on the very spot where we were praying, God, put your people, you know, there. Mm-hmm. That was one prayer. In the same moment that he was being sworn in and became president, the hostages, after over a year, were released in that same moment. And there was a gigantic turnaround. If you remember, you know, the economy would soon turn around. It would be called the Seven Fat Years, America's military power, called mourning in America. It lasted in many ways up to 9/11. But it all turned on that moment when Reagan stood on that terrace and he put his hand on the Bible. But people don't realize what it turned on. His hand was on the Bible. History, world history, even the fall of communism, turned on the Bible. He had his hand on a verse. And the verse he had his hand on was, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I'll hear from heaven, I'll heal their land. God did it. He was putting his mark, and he can do it again. But we are at a much more critical time now. But this, don't ever underestimate the power of prayer and repentance and the hand of God.
Rabbi, I was there on that day. And
I
was,
didn't know.
Yes, I was part of it. And as I recall, later, Ronald Reagan put his hand on the Bible on that verse, and the Bible had been given to him by his mother. And she had pointed that scripture out to him. And there we were there. I think I got there a little after that prayer, but people had their arms extended toward the very place where the inauguration would occur.
Yes. You remember that. Yeah. I was a new believer, and I never forgot it. And I never forgot what I watched after that. And I believe the Lord wanted me to see it, because what God had done. And literally, I mean, when you look at the ramifications of that, of America, the fall of the Soviet Union was linked to America's strength at that time. And it all began with that prayer. And it began with that scripture. That's how amazing God is. And that's why it is so crucial now that we take God seriously and, you know, for revival. And, you know, another thing interesting about that scripture, because that scripture that says, if my people, but people don't often look to the verse before, which is the context. And the context is, God says, if I send a plague on the land, then if my people come before me. Well, we got the plague. It also says, if I shut up the heavens, and that's like famine. Well, this is also a year of famine across the world. And it says, if there are locusts in the land. 2020 is the greatest plague of locusts on the world in generations. It's in Africa. It's all over. So you only need one. We've got all three. So I believe everything is converging right now, as it has never converged, to say, people, this is the time. The time is now. God is still on the throne, as you can see. You know, and all these things, don't fear if you're in the will of God. Do not fear. But God is on the throne, and God will hear the prayers of his people if we take this seriously. That is the reason for the return. And the other thing is revival. You know, we pray for revival. We can't just pray for revival. You know, we have to start living in revival.
That's
revival
right.
begins when we start living in it. It's for each of us. If we repent, if we turn from our sinful ways, and if we will seek God as never before, God will hear from heaven, and God will answer us.
You know, I remember at the end of the Carter administration, there was great concern for our country. Inflation was through the roof, so were unemployment and other concerns. There was international trouble as well. And we came together on the mall there and began praying for our nation. And the election of Ronald Reagan came out of that, and there was a turnaround for our entire country economically and in other ways as well. So do you remember the date of that event? It was the precursor to what we're calling the return.
Yeah, it was April 29th, which is significant because I believe that when they first landed at Virginia Beach and planted that cross and dedicated America to God near Jamestown, that was April 29th. And then interesting because, you know, years later, when Lincoln issued his call, it was like April 30th. It was like one day. And when Washington gave the warning about America, if we turn away from God, if we turn away from his rules of order and law, then the blessings of God are going to be withdrawn from our land. And he said that on his inauguration. That was April 30th as well. So it's all at this time, and that's when America was dedicated to God on its day when Washington began, and it was at ground zero. So it's like everything is linked together.
Well, the return is going to occur on that day. Again, it's September 26th. Tell us what time it will start in the morning and how long it will last.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be something special the night before. You know, that's for those who can go there. But it'll begin at 9 o'clock, 9 a.m., and it will begin with the sound of the trumpets, of the silver trumpets all over to signal, the gathering of God's people. And then it will go to 5. There'll be all sorts of different things happening during it. By the way, it begins with the repentance of us, of the church, and the leaders. And then it's going to go to America, and the world is going to be a word, you know, where there are going to be different people giving words, but it'll be focused on that. It'll go to 5 p.m. And for those who can, they'll be in kind of a worship and praise afterwards from 6 to 9 for those who can. But there'll be people who will come in by bus. There'll be churches coming by bus who will come and go that time. That's fine. We'll be gathering, but also you can do it where you are as well. But if you can come, that'll be awesome.
Well, thank you so much, Rabbi Kahn, for being our guest on these three programs. We've been talking about your two books, The Harbinger, which was released in 2012, and now The Harbinger 2, which came out on September 1st. These are inspirational, informative, and very convicting books, and you can get copies of them from Amazon or anywhere you buy books, and I certainly hope you will. God be with you, sir, and keep writing. You have an open invitation to be with us whenever you can be with us.
Sure.
Well, this has been a thought-provoking discussion that we've heard the last 3 days here on Family Talk. Rabbi Jonathan Kahn always has something meaningful to share with us, which includes a powerful call to action. For additional information on any of our guests this month, go to the broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org. Thanks for listening. And be sure to join us again next time for another edition of Family Talk's 2020 Best of Broadcast.
This has been a presentation of the Dr. James Dobson Family Institute.
The idea of authority in dealing with children has fallen into disrepute in recent years, and it's no wonder.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
The moment you even use the word authority, there are people who mistakenly think you're referring to harshness and anger. They picture a father who rules with an iron fist, and when he speaks, everybody jumps because they're afraid not to. Properly defined, however, authority means respected leadership. And without respect for leadership, you have no leadership. And without leadership, you have anarchy, chaos, and very real danger. One day when our kids were younger, I remember watching their hamster run around his cage. He was gnawing on the bars and trying to lift the cage door, doing everything he could to escape. Then about 5 feet away, I noticed our little dachshund Siggy watching the hamster from the safety of the shadows. His ears were pointed straight up, and I knew exactly what he was thinking. Come on, baby, break through to freedom. I'll give you a ride you'll never forget. Now, if that little hamster had been so unfortunate as to achieve his desire for freedom, he'd been dead in seconds. You see, even loving discipline can seem like a cage to a child sometimes, but young children lack the perspective to see what awaits them beyond the bars. If you love your kids, lead them. You have the authority to take charge at home. Use it.
Hear more at drjamesdobson.org.
Hey everyone, did you know that radio is more popular now than ever? A new feature here at Family Talk we're excited to announce. It's called the Station Finder feature. This is Dr. Tim Clinton for Family Talk. I want to tell you how you can listen to our daily broadcast on a station near you. Go to the broadcast menu at drjamesdobson.org, then click on the Family Talk radio stations button. Once you're there, you're going to see an interactive map of radio affiliates, which, by the way, is growing every day. Simply click on your home state, and then you'll see where our broadcast is airing in your town. Go to drjamesdobson.org and take advantage of this brand new Station Finder feature.